Good morning. We started a new series last week. It's called His Story, God's Unfolding Story of Redemption. And last week we looked at creation. And for those of you that are like to have every part of your notes filled out, maybe you didn't get those last week because we were only able to cover really the first point. I'll be covering the last two points in my message today. It's going to look a little bit different than what I was planning last week, but it's still the same two points. So just so you know, for those of you that like to have every, you know, every little word filled in, they'll be there today, but you have different notes. Does anybody know what this is? A prism. A prism. It could look like just a piece of glass or plastic, but it's a prism. And when the light, if I can get this to work today, not going, is the screen frozen? Okay, I don't know. Well, okay. Well, when the light hits it just right, it shines colors, right? It gives you the spectrum of colors all of a sudden. It's the same that happens when the light hits the water and it's raining and you see the rainbow. We were talking a few weeks ago in class about how a rainbow is actually a full circle. You don't actually see the full circle unless you're in a plane or something like that. There are times when you can see the full circle of a rainbow, but we were learning that in class. Many of us hadn't heard that before, and so I went home, and I don't know about you, but I Googled that, and there were actual pictures of full rainbows that were actually full circles. But a prism gives you that same idea as well. It shows light in a different perspective. But a prism on its own isn't, there's the picture. The prism on its own isn't going to do a whole lot, but it's when the light shines through it that you get to see all of its radiance. You get to see all of its glory there. Last week we talked about how creation reveals God. And like a prism, creation, when God shines, it shows who God is. It shows that in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, Paul told us that creation reveals God's eternal power and creation reveals God's divine nature. Creation reveals those two things, and there are people that say that that is not true, that there is no God and that God did not create, but we know because of the Bible and the truth that God has in his Bible is that creation did happen, and creation happened in 7 days, the Bible tells us. So we know that to be true. But creation reveals God's eternal power and God's divine nature. His power is the same today as it was when he created. His power is the same today as it was then when he created. And his nature, his divine nature, is still the same because he is God and we are not. The problem, as we'll talk about today, is Adam and Eve decided that they wanted to try to be like God and they wanted to take his place. On day number 6, Genesis 1:31 says this, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the 6th day." The 6th day, God saw everything, and it was very good. Everything was focused on bringing God glory at that point. Everything was focused on revealing who God was. All of creation was showing who God was. And it was very good, God said. Everything was perfect. So what happened from the point of being very good to what we know today, where there's famine, where there's sickness that we just prayed for, where there's diseases, where there's death. What happened from perfection to what we know today? Genesis 2, chapter 2, verse 16 says, this is a command that God was giving to Adam specifically. He said, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. He said, there's all of these plants around you. There's all of these trees that I've placed here so that you can have food. They're all bringing me glory, and you're to bring me glory. He's saying, Adam and Eve, you're to bring me glory, but this one tree, this one plant, I said, no, you can't eat of this one. You're not ready to have the knowledge of all good and all evil at this point, God says. You're not ready. I don't know if God would have let them eventually eat of it as he trained them and taught them about things. I have no idea. The Bible doesn't tell us that. We didn't make it that far. How didn't we make it that far? Genesis 3, verse 6. So when the woman saw, so Satan, the serpent, has come along, and he said, well, God didn't really say, did he? That's not what God meant, right? Satan, the deceiver, the father of lies, came along and said, that's not really what God said. And then this is Eve's response. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was a delight to the eye. Ooh, look at that fruit. That looks like some really good fruit. And that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, to be like God, to be wise. I want to have that same wisdom that God has. She took of it, its fruit, and ate it. We depict this a lot of times as an apple, but we don't know what kind of fruit it was. We just know that it was a tree that had fruit. So she took some of it and she took a bite out of it. And then it says, she also gave some to her husband who was with her. He's right there. You don't even hear any of his dialogue. He's just standing there like, duh. Jack says, no, that wasn't it. But he was right there. He didn't say, no, stop. You shouldn't do that. He didn't do that. He was standing right beside her. And she took it. She went, oh, that looks really good. That looks good to eat. That looks I'm desiring that. And she took it. And, oh, it's going to make me wise, too. And so she took a bite out of it. And she handed it to him. And he goes, okay. Probably like any guy, if you put food in front of him, he'll eat it. He took it and he ate it. He was right there. And then we learn of all of the curse that happened after it. We learned of the curse upon the serpent. We learned about the curse upon the woman, the curse upon the man. And now we deal with that, farmers especially. You deal with that on a daily basis, having to work hard to plant and get crops. We all feel the effects of that, though, having to work and by the sweat of our brow, the Bible says, we're going to work and toil and labor until we die. Because of their disobedience, creation was marred. Creation was scarred. Adam and Eve became separated from God. Now there was a distance between them that wasn't there before. The relationship with God was severed. The Bible does tell us that they were kicked out of the garden, that they couldn't eat of the tree of life anymore either. The tree of life was there, and I imagine the tree of life was to continue to give them life, and now they're kicked out, and so now their bodies are starting to decay. Their bodies are starting to go downhill, and they're no longer having this life put in them constantly. All of creation begins to decay. The Bible also tells us that with women, their pain is going to be multiplied in childbirth. What was the command that God had given them to do? Fill, multiply, and fill the earth. Now, in order to fulfill God's command, there's going to be even greater pain because of that. Even obeying God sometimes is going to be painful. And that's hard to imagine. Because you think, oh, if I obey God all the time, it's going to be easy. If I obey and I'm walking along with God all the time, it's going to be just simple. But now even obeying God was painful and hard. And what happens? Adam and Eve conceal themselves instead of revealing God. We talked about how creation, all of creation revealed God. And before this point, all of creation and Adam and Eve revealed who God was. But now, after the fall, after they sin, God comes and he says, Adam and Eve, where are you? Where'd you go? You were right here. That's not God not knowing, because God knows all. But they had hid themselves. And there was something now different. Eve sees that sin looks good and she grabs it. She takes it. Have you ever told a child not to do something? We've gotten to a point at our house, Ellie knows a lot of things she's not supposed to be doing, and we'll see her doing something or thinking about it, and we'll say, Eliana, and she'll look at us, she goes, we've talked about this. Because we say that to her all the time. We say, we've talked about this, Ellie, you're not supposed to be doing that. We'll say, Eliana, we've talked about this, but sometimes she still does it anyways. And what happens? She has hiding spots. She has hiding spots around the house that we know if she gets quiet, something's probably going on. Sometimes she's just sitting there playing and she's fine. One day, she got real quiet. And I said to say, have you seen Eliana? What's she doing? And I don't know. I said, well, start checking out the hiding spots, you know. One of them's under the kitchen table. She likes to sit under the kitchen table and kind of hide. And so I kind of am looking around, and I kind of see her under the kitchen table. And I go, she has something in her hands. What does she have? She'd climbed up on a chair. We had a bag of donuts sitting on the table. She decided she wanted a donut. She didn't want to ask about getting a donut because she knew probably what the answer was going to be. So she climbed up on the chair, grabbed the donuts, and went to her hiding spot. And she sat there, and she was trying to open the bag. When we found her, she had a donut in her hand, and she was taking bites out of it. She knew she wasn't supposed to do that. She knew it was wrong, so she went and concealed herself. She went and hid. How often do we do that? We know something's wrong, and so we go, okay, I'm going to go hide because I don't want to be seen. How often does sin look really good to us? We look at it and go, oh, that's desirable. I should take that. We hide like that. It's like, oh, God can't see me. God's not going to see where I'm at. But God knows where we're at. He says, why are you hiding? Why are you doing the things that I said don't do? We know. We know what God's word says. We know that we're not supposed to do things. But it's delightful. It looks good to us. We desire it. And then we go and hide. Why? Because we know it's wrong. We know we're not supposed to be doing it. What is it in your life that is like that piece of fruit that just, it can't be resisted? You want to reach out and you want to grab it because it looks so good. It looks so desirable, and then you find yourself going, man, why did I do that? Why did I grab, why? It looks so good on this side of it, but then after you're like, man, that wasn't very good. Have you ever gone out to eat somewhere and you're really expecting something really good, and then you take your first bite and you're like, man, I paid money for this? I could have made it this good at home. I've had a few of those experiences in life where apparently the cook was having a bad day. Things were a little off in the kitchen. But you go, man, this looks really good. I want to eat it. But then after you take it, it's like, why did I do that? Why did I take that bite? Sin has now entered the world. And God set these guidelines that the punishment for sin would be death. But the problem was no perfect death could happen, because now all of creation, all of humanity was marred, was separated, was scarred from the sin that happened. So nothing perfect could ever happen as a sacrifice. And Israel went through a period of trying to make all these sacrifices work, and they would kill an animal to pay for the sin, and it was a system that God had set up, but none of those were perfect, and so they have to keep doing it and doing it and doing it, but there was going to be a perfect sacrifice that would happen. The payment needed to be made. There was only one payment for sin. The Bible in Romans tells us, for the wages of sin is death. That payment of death, perfect death, had to be made, but it couldn't be. And then in John 14, it says this. Jesus came and he said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Jesus reveals God and brings life. See, all of creation was revealing God. All of creation, humanity, the animals, the plants, everything was revealing who God was. Then sin happened and it was all marred. It was all scarred. It was all broken then because of the sin that had happened. But Jesus comes back, and Jesus is now revealing who the Father is, because if you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. If you've gotten to know Jesus, you've gotten to know the Father, because Jesus reveals God. And Jesus comes to restore life. Jesus came and he shines this spotlight on who God is. Think of the prism again. If I had a spotlight that I could shine, just this really focused point of light, we'd really be able to see. I mean, you can see a little bit of shining from this, but it's not super bright. If I had a spotlight and just, you would see all of what happened. Jesus came as a spotlight to reveal who the Father was and what the Father looked like. The Bible in John chapter 1, let's read it. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 1. Verses 1 through 5. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. John chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word being Jesus. Jesus is the Word here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Think about this. In the beginning, God created, and God said, and God said, God spoke, but in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning, God spoke, but in the beginning, Jesus was there. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. John says, verse 4, he says, in him was life, and the life was the light of man. It shines in the darkness, and the darkness is not overcome. And it says, verse 9, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. And the verse 12, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. John is saying there's a new life that's coming. There's a new creation that's coming. There's a light that's going to shine. And it's going to reveal who God is. And that light that was coming, that was going to be the light to men, was Jesus Christ. Jesus came to reveal who the Father was. But what does the Bible say? 2 Corinthians 4:4. The God of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Jesus is here revealing who God is, but Paul says Satan's still trying to keep people from believing. Satan's trying to blind people so they can't see the light. He's trying to close their eyes so they can't see things, so they can't understand. 1 Corinthians 15:22 says, for as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Christ comes to bring life, and he's the light that shines to show us who God is. And in Adam all die, but in Christ all are going to be made alive. If you're in Christ this morning, you're going to be made alive. You're not going to have to worry about death. Yeah, we're going to have physical death of this body, but your spirit is alive now. Your spirit is alive. The Bible tells us we're going to have new bodies. Aren't you going to be glad when you don't have any more aches and pains? Aren't you going to be glad when you don't have to worry about things, when you don't forget things anymore? Aren't you going to be glad when none of that happens anymore? You're going to have a new body? And God's going to say, it's very good. You're not going to have that. Garrett, you said your leg was bothering you this morning, right? Because you couldn't jump? That was the reason, right? Yeah, that was the reason. We'll go with that. You're not going to have that pain anymore. That old tennis elbow you had or whatever it is, like, you're not going to have that pain anymore. You're not going to have those problems anymore because you're going to be made new. Light is a powerful thing. I don't know if any of you have ever been in a cave where there's no light. Have you ever been there? I've been in that situation where you go in a cave and you're all kind of traveling with your lights and then they all cut the lights out. All of a sudden, there's nothing. Like, you can't see your hand here even. Like, there's just no light whatsoever. The problem now is everybody will pull out their cell phone. So you only get that momentary instant where there's no light. And then everybody pops their cell phones out, like, trying to shine around. There are times around this church, I'm getting to know the church still, and I'll walk into a room and the door will shut behind me. I'll be like, uh-oh. Where are the lights? Now I'm in the middle of a room and I'm not real familiar with, and I'm like, okay, there's got to be a switch around here somewhere. You know, you're feeling around. Light is a powerful thing. Light shows us where we can go, and the same is true for Jesus. Jesus reveals who God is. Jesus shines a light on God, a spotlight. If you look at Jesus, you see God. He shows us the way to God. As we looked at John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's only one way to get to God. Jesus is shining the light on him, and he's the way. Jesus is the way to know who God is. Jesus is the way to get back to where we were before the fall. Jesus is the way for creation to be renewed. Sure, it doesn't feel like it right now because creation is still decaying. The Bible says that creation groans because of the sin, because of sin that happened thousands of years ago. Creation groans. But the Bible says it's all going to be made new. Final point, we should reveal God. We should reveal God. Psalm 105, verses 1 and 2. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. And tell of all his wondrous works. We should reveal who God is. If you're a Christian, we're talking about his story, but his story intersects with your story. It intersects with my story because of what Christ has done, because of who Christ was, because he offered this opportunity now to have a relationship with God. Our stories meet. And now my story is not just about me. My story then becomes about him and revealing him again, because his light is shining through me. My story, some of you I've told pieces of this, but when I was 4 years old, we were sitting in church just like this, like a lot of you kids are doing, and we were actually doing communion that Sunday. And so they were passing the bread and the cup, and we were taking communion, but as a four-year-old, my parents said, no, you can't have that. Well, put food in front of a kid and said, no, you can't have that. There's going to be questions. Things are going to come up, and I said, well, why not? They said, we'll tell you later. And so later that night, I asked my dad, I said, so why couldn't I take that? Well, he explained that that is to remember what Christ has done for you, and that's for you when you have made that commitment, then you can actually take the communion. And I didn't quite understand that, but he explained it to me. He said, Roger, Christ died on the cross to pay the penalty for your sins. And I said, okay, I can understand the sins. I've done bad things before. I can understand that I have bad things in my life. And he died to pay the penalty for those. Oh, wow, well, he's going to pay my penalty? Well, I like the sounds of that. And then you can have eternal life. And I went, okay, what's the downside of this? And so that day, I actually accepted Christ. And my life has looked different since then. That's my story. If you're a Christian, each of you have a story. I went to visit Evelyn a couple weeks ago, and I wanted to know her story. I wanted to know how she became a Christian, and she said, well, I was about 14. She said, we had a revival meeting, and I accepted the Lord then. That's her story. She remembers it. I asked her, and all of a sudden it was like, yeah, that's my story. She remembered how she became a Christian. That's very vivid in her memory. As I'm talking, all of you are probably thinking about your stories as well. How you became a Christian. Who was involved in that? We all have our own stories for how we came to Christ. The psalmist says that we should make known God's deeds and we should tell of all of his wondrous works. That means the works of what Christ has done on the cross. But it also means the work that Christ has done in your life, because Christ is working in your life, and Christ is still working in my life on things. It's constant. There are days I go, wow, how did that happen? We're buying a house right now, and hopefully going to close in the next week or two, but things have just been boom, 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 and I go, this isn't normal. Like, I bought a house before, and it didn't ever go this quick. Like, there were delays, and there was this. And we talked to the realtor last week, and she's like, okay, you might be in it next week. I'm like, whoa, hold on. That's quick. How do these things happen? Well, we have a big God that's making these things happen. And there are things like that. You go, wow, that's only going to happen if God's involved in it. As Jesus was riding into Jerusalem, talked about this a few weeks ago. Jesus rode in to Jerusalem on a donkey, and the people were all shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. They're proclaiming, Luke 19 says, blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. And the Pharisees, the religious leaders of that day, told Jesus, you need to stop them. You need to make them be quiet. They shouldn't be saying that about you, is what the religious leaders say. And Jesus said this. He said, I tell you, if these people were silent, the very stones would cry out. He says, the rocks would cry out if these people weren't shouting. Why? Because creation reveals who God is. I've never heard a rock talk, however. But Jesus said if the people weren't shouting, the creation would be. Creation reveals who God is. Jesus reveals who God is. The Bible tells us that he became flesh and dwelt among us. And if you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. And then we are called to reveal God's work in our lives. As Jesus, the light, shines on us, we're to display the beautiful colors of who God is. And we're supposed to be doing that to the rest of the world. When I talk about being a light in the community, sometimes we say, oh, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to... No! We need to sing, this little light of mine. We need to just really sing it out because we have the light. Jesus came as the light to show us who God was, and now we're to be little lights to show who God is, because we're supposed to be mirroring who Jesus is in each of our lives. How do we do that? Well, tell others God's story. If you tell other people God's story, that's how you can reveal who God is. If you tell other people your story, we each have a story. I can't say to Missy, Missy, your story's wrong. That's not, because it's her story. It's her story. She can't say, well, Roger, your story. That wasn't right, that part you said. I was there. Your dad didn't. No. That's my story. We each have our own story of how we came to know Christ. And maybe it involves other people in the church here. But it's how we share who God is, how we reveal who God is by sharing what he's doing in our lives, what he's done for us, and what he's doing in our lives now. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for the things that you've done in our lives. I thank you for Jesus dying on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. God, I thank you for the opportunity we have to be back into a relationship with you that was broken at the fall. It was broken because of what Adam and Eve did. And I thank you that we can now get to know you through Jesus, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. Father, I pray that you'd help us to shine that light to others, that we would shine our light out in the community, in Etna Green, in Plymouth, in Wakarusa, in Napanee, in Warsaw, in Fort Wayne, in Indianapolis, wherever we're heading this week, God, that we would be shining our light in each of those communities. That we would be telling people of who you are. And God, I pray you help give us courage to do that. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you stand?